Book 20, Encore, by Jacques Lacan. Seminar 9, Wednesday, 20th of March, 1973. For my part, I would really like from time to time to have a response, even a protest. I do not have much hope, since one of the people who formerly gave me this satisfaction, true, I only begged him to take on this role a half an hour ago, asked me to get out of it. But if there were someone by chance who found in what I said the last time that I went out myself, that is simply say rather uneasy to say the least, and which proved when I reread it altogether tolerable to me, that is my way of saying that it was very good. I would not be unhappy if all the same someone could bear witness to me of having heard something in it. It would be enough for a hand to be raised for me to give the floor, as I might say, to that hand. I see that there is nothing doing, so that I must then continue. It will perhaps be less good this time. I would like to start from a few remarks, the first to make connection with what today I would be happy to write for you as Enamoration, which must be written H-A-I-N-A-M-O-R-A-T-I-O-N. This, as you know, is the relief psychoanalysis was able to introduce in order to situate in it the zone of its experience. It is a testimony, as I might say, of goodwill on its part. If precisely it had only been able to call enamoration by a different term than the bastard one of ambivalence, perhaps it would have succeeded better in waking up to the context of the epoch in which it is inserted. Perhaps also it is modesty on its part, and in effect, if I ended on something, this something thanks to which I can only approach what polarized everything I was stating the last time, I stated in the final paragraph that there was someone named Empedocles, and I had pointed out that it was not for nothing that Freud arms himself with him. That for Empedocles God must be the most ignorant of all beings, which links us up to the question of knowledge. And this very precisely, I said, because of not knowing hatred. To this I added that later on Christians transformed this non-hatred of God into a mark of love. It is here that the analysis of the correlation that it establishes between hatred and love encourages us towards something by a reminder, to which I will come back later, and which is exactly the following, that we do not know love without hatred. Namely, that if there is knowledge of something, if this knowledge that was fomented throughout the centuries disappoints us, and means that we must renovate the function of knowledge, it is indeed perhaps that hatred has never been put in its place in it. It is true that this is not either what seems to be the most desirable thing to evoke, and that is why I ended with this sentence. One could say that the more man attributes to the woman a confusion of himself with God, namely of what she enjoys, remember my schema from the last time, I'm not going to do it again, the less he hates, and at the same time I said that I was equivocating on I and E in French. Namely, that in this business, moreover, the less he loves. I was not very happy at having ended on that, even though it is the truth. This indeed is what will make me question myself today once more about what is apparently confused in terms of the true and the real. In the way I have contributed the notion of the way that they are sketched out in analytic experience and what it would be well in tree effect not to confuse. The truth, of course, is affirmed as aiming at the real, but it is only stated here as the fruit of a long development and, I would say more, of a reduction of the pretensions to truth. Everywhere we see it presenting itself, affirming itself as an ideal, as something of which the word can be the support. We see that the truth is not something that is so easily attained. I will say that if analysis is based on a presumption, it is that the knowledge about the truth can be constituted. In the schema, the little formula, Gram, that I gave you of the analytic discourse, the O is written on the top left and is sustained by this S2, insofar knowledge insofar as it is at the place of truth. It is from there that it summons as Bard, asked to say anything whatsoever which ought to result in the production of S1, of the signifier from which there can be resolved what? Precisely its relationship to truth. See schema. The truth, let us say, to cut to the quick, is originally Aletheia, on which Heidegger speculated so much. Emeth, the Hebrew term, which, like every use of this term, truth, has a judicial origin. Even in our day, the witness is asked to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, and what is more, all if he is able. How, alas, could he do so? The whole truth about what he knows. But what is sought, and precisely more than anywhere else in judicial testimony, is what? It is to be able to judge what is involved in enjoyment, and I would say more, the fact is that enjoyment is avowed, and precisely in that it may be unavowable, that the truth sought is precisely that which more than any other with regard to the law rules this enjoyment. This is moreover how, in Kant's terms, the problem is evoked as regards what the free man ought to do with respect to the tyrant who proposes every enjoyment to him in exchange for him denouncing the enemy whom the tyrant fears may be, with respect to enjoyment, the one who is disputing it with him. How is the question evoked about this imperative not seen, that nothing in the name of what is of the order of the pathetic ought to direct the testimony of what after all is evoked in terms of it? And if what the free man is asked to denounce the enemy, the rival about, if it were true, ought he to do it? Can it not be seen simply by evoking this problem that if there is something that assuredly inspires in us all the reservations that are indeed those that we all have, it is that the whole truth is what cannot be said. It is what can only be said on condition of not pushing it to the end, to only half say it. There is something else that constrains us as regards what is involved in the truth, which is that enjoyment is a limit. This is something that stems from the very structure that was evoked at the time when I constructed my quadrupeds for you. The fact is that enjoyment can only be summoned, can only be evoked, can only be elaborated starting from a semblance. Love itself, I underlined the last time, is addressed from the semblance. It is addressed from the semblance, and moreover, if it is indeed true that the big other can only be reached by being bracketed, as I said the last time, with small o, the cause of desire, it is moreover to the semblance of being that it is addressed. This being there is not nothing. It is supposed to this something, to this object which is the little o. But here ought we not to rediscover this trace that as such it corresponds to some imaginary? 5. Assuredly, I have explicitly designated this imaginary by I, by small I, placed here isolated from the term I imaginary, and that this is why it is only by the clothing of the self-image that has enveloped the object cause of desire, that there is most often sustained, this is the very articulation of analysis, that there is most often sustained the objectal relationship. See schema. This affinity of small o to this envelope is a connection, it must be said, one of these major connections that has been advanced by psychoanalysis and which, for us, is the point of suspicion that it essentially introduces. This is where what we come to say about the real is distinguished. For this real, if you take it as I believed I should in the course of time, a time which is also that of my experience, the real can only be inscribed from an impasse of formalization. And that is why I believed I could sketch out the model of it from mathematical formalization insofar as it is the most advanced elaboration that we have managed to produce, the most advanced elaboration of significance, of a significance which, in short, I am talking about mathematical formalization, one can say that it runs counter to meaning. I almost said in the opposite direction. The "it means nothing" about mathematics is what is said in our time by philosophers of mathematics, even when they are themselves mathematicians. I sufficiently underlined the Russell's Principia, and nevertheless, can one not say that this network precisely of mathematical logic that has been pushed so far, inasmuch as with respect to something that found its high point from a philosophy that was indeed forced to emerge from its own entrenchments, the summit, is Hegel? Can we not say that with respect to this plenitude of contrasts dialecticized in the idea of a historical progress, whose substance it must be said nothing attests for us, can we not say that with regard to that, what is stated in terms of this formalization that is so well constructed, supported as it is by nothing but the written, is something that may only serve us, would only be of service to us if required in the analytic process, in that what is designated in it, in that six, what is designated in it is what invisibly retains bodies. And if I were not allowed to give an image of it, I would easily take it from what in nature appears to be closest to what ensures that the written requires, in a way, this reduction to the dimensions, two dimensions of the surface, and which in a certain way is supported, I would say, in nature, by this something at which Spinoza already marveled, namely, the textural work that comes out of the spider's belly. The spider's web, a truly miraculous function to see in a way being already supported by it. In this opaque point of this strange being, seeing appeared from the surface itself, the one which for us allows the outline of the tracing of these writings, which are finally the only point where we might find graspable these limits, these points of impasse, of dead ends which make the real understood as coming from accédant du, the symbolic at its most extreme point. That is why I do not believe it was vain that after a work of elaboration whose date I do not need to recall here and now, I came to the writing of this little O of this capital S, read as signifier of capital O qua Bart, O Bart, and of capital Phi. Their very writing constitutes the support that goes beyond the word and which nevertheless does not go beyond the very effects of language, and in which there is designated this something where, by centering the symbolic, something that is important on condition, of course, of knowing how to make use of it. But make use of it for what? To retain a congruent truth. Not the truth that claims to be all, the one precisely, the one that we have to deal with in terms of a half-saying, the one that proves to be wary of going as far as an avowal which could be the worst, the one that is wary starting with the cause of desire. It presumes that this desire is inscribed on the basis of corporal contingency. I recall for you the way in which I support this term contingency. One could say that the phallus, as tackled in analytic 7 experience as the key point, the extreme point of what is stated as cause of desire, one could say that analytic experience does not cease writing it. Now, if I call it contingency, it is inasmuch that here is where analytic experience encounters its limits. that all it can produce is this S1. This signifier which the last time I think you still remember the uproar that I succeeded in producing from this audience by qualifying it as a signifier of the most idiotic enjoyment itself, and it was pointed out to me in the two senses of the term, that of the idiot on the one hand, which has indeed here its function as a reference, and also the one which is most singular. It is in this does not cease to be written that there resides the high point of what I called contingency. Contingency, if as I say it is opposed to the impossible, it is inasmuch as the necessary is the does not cease not to be written. I beg your pardon. It is necessary that introduces to us this does not cease. But the does not cease of the necessary is the does not cease to be written. Now here indeed is the apparent necessity to which the analysis of the reference to the phallus leads us. The does not cease not to be written that I said in a slip just now is the impossible. The impossible as I define it as what cannot in any case be written. This is how I designate what is involved in the sexual relationship. It does not cease not to be written, but the correction that by this fact it allows us to contribute to the apparent necessity of the phallic function is the following, that it is really qua mode of the contingent, namely that it does not cease to be written ought to be written, ceases precisely by not being written. It is as contingency in which there is resumed everything that is involved of that which for us submits the sexual relationship, for the speaking being to being only in the regime of encounter. It is in this sense that one can say that through psychoanalysis, the phallus reserved in ancient times for the mysteries has ceased not being written. Nothing more. It has not entered into the does not cease, in the field on which there depends necessity on the eight, one hand and above, impossibility. The true, then, here, bears witness that by warning about the imaginary as it does, it has a lot to do with anatomy. It is in the final analysis from a depreciatory angle that I contribute these three terms, those that I inscribe as small o, s, between brackets o barred, and phi. What shows us the conjunction of these three terms is precisely what is inscribed in terms of this triangle constituted by the imaginary, the symbolic, and the real, and in which what is designated by their conjunction is what? On the right, the little reality on which there is supported this principle that Freud promised as being the one that is elaborated by a progress, which would be fundamentally that of the pleasure principle. The little reality, namely the fact that everything that we are allowed to approach in terms of reality remains rooted in fantasy. On the other hand, what is capital S between brackets O barred? But the impossibility of saying the whole truth that I spoke about earlier. And finally, the third term, this true which the symbolic by directing itself towards the real demonstrates for us the true nature of this little O object that I earlier qualified as semblance of being, not by chance. It is indeed because it seems to give us the support of being, it is moreover because what is confirmed by everything that is elaborated as such, and anything whatsoever that belongs to being, of being and even of essence, that we can by reading it starting from analytic experience, in reading Aristotle for example, see that what is at stake is the little O object, that Aristotelian contemplation for example issues from this look as I defined it in the four fundamental concepts of psychoanalysis as representing one of the four supports that constitute the cause of desire. It is then from a graphicization, not to mention graph, since moreover graph is a term that has a very precise meaning in mathematical logic, in this graphing that there are shown these 9 correspondences that make of the real one open between the semblance that results from the symbolic and the reality as it is supported in the concrete of, in the concrete of human life. In what leads men, in what makes them always charge along the same paths, in what makes them produce still other men, in what ensures that forever this still to be born, l'encore à naître, will result in anything then, l'encore né. On the other hand, this small O, for which for its part by being overall on the right path, would make us take it as being in the name of the fact that it is indeed apparently something which only resolves itself when all is said and done by its failure, by precisely not being able to be inscribed in any way completely in approaching the real. The true, then, of course, is that, except for the fact that it is never reached except along twisted paths, and that everything to which the true, to which frequently we are led to appeal, is simply to recall the fact that one must not make the mistake, that one must not believe that one is already even in the semblance, that before the semblance with which, in effect, everything is supported in order to rebound into fantasy, that before that a severe distinction must be made between the imaginary and the real. That it must not be believed that it is in any way we ourselves that even support this semblance. We are not even semblance. We are on occasion what can occupy its place and make reign there what. What assuredly, to limit ourselves to the immediate of today, allows us to say that after all the analysts in all the orders of discourse which are those in any case which are actually sustained, and this word actually is not irrelevant if we give to the act its full Aristotelian sense. Among all the discourses that are actually sustained, it is indeed the analyst who, by putting the small O object in the place of the semblance, is in the most appropriate position for doing what is right to do, namely to examine what is involved in truth in terms of knowledge. 10. What is knowledge? It is strange that apart from Descartes, who not for nothing is at the dawn of modern science, not the only one, but he is there all the same, that before Descartes the question of knowledge had never been put, that it required in a way this something what that is analysis, and which came to announce to us that there is some knowledge that does not know itself, and that it is, properly speaking, a knowledge that is supported by the signifier as such that a dream does not introduce us to any unfathomable experience, to any mysticism, that it is read in what is said about it, and that one can even go further by taking up its equivocations in the most anagrammatic sense of the word, that it is at this point of language where someone like Saussure asked himself the question as to whether even in the Saturnian verses, in which he found the most strange punctuations of writing, it was or was not intentional. Here is where Saussure is in a way waiting for Freud. It is here that there is renewed the question of knowledge. If you will pardon me, here's something that I will borrow from a completely different register, that of the virtues inaugurated by the Christian religion, but you will see that it is not out of place, because we will indeed have to speak again about the aforesaid religion. There is there a sort of elated effect of a shoot, a sucker of charity. What indeed was it, if not something that has some kinship, affinity with what, in the style of the speaking animal, partakes of the gift, as they say? I do not see it elsewhere that in this gift of Freud saying that the unconscious is at least this little beginning stage, thanks to which misery could say that there was here something that truly, and not in the way it had been said up to then, transcended it. Nothing other than the language that this species inhabits. nothing other than this language, and that from this language it found itself having in what was involved in everyday life further support for reason than there might appear, namely that this vain pursuit of a wisdom that is unattainable and always destined for failure was already there in part. 11. But then, do we need this whole detour to put the question of knowledge in the form of what knows? Do we realize that it is the Big Other with a capital O, as I posited it at the start, as nothing other than the locus in which the signifier is posited and without which nothing indicates to us that there is something, a dimension of truth, dimension, in two words. The residence of the set whose knowledge posits the Big Other as locus. The status of knowledge implies as such that there is already knowledge in the Big Other, that it is to be taken, apprendre, in two words. That is why it is designed to be learned, d'apprendre, in just one. The subject results from the fact that this knowledge must be learned and even have a price put on it, mise à prix. Namely, that it is its cost that evaluates it, not as exchange, but as use. Knowledge is worth just as much as it costs beaucoup and costs beaucoup, that one must pay with one's height for it, because it is difficult. Difficult to what? Less to acquire than to enjoy. There, in the enjoying, its conquest of this knowledge, its conquest is renewed each time this knowledge is exercised, the power that it gives remaining always turned towards its enjoyment. It is strange that this has never been put into relief, that the meaning of knowledge is entirely in that the difficulty in exercising it is what enhances that of its acquisition. It is because with every exercise of this acquisition it is repeated that there is no question of which of these repetitions of which is to be posited as first in its learned. Of course, there are things nowadays which seem to work completely like little machines. These are called computers. But what says that a computer thinks? I don't mind that. But what says that it knows? The foundation of a knowledge is what I have just said. It is that the enjoyment of its exercise is the same as that of its acquisition. This is how, since, as you see, here there is encountered in surer 12 than in Marx himself, what is involved in use value. Since, moreover, in Marx it is only there to act as an ideal point as compared to exchange value, in which everything is summed up. And precisely, let us talk about this learned that is not based on exchange, about the knowledge of Marx himself, since I have just evoked him, about the knowledge of Marx himself in politics, which is not negligible. You cannot do Marx, if you will allow me, any more than one can make fraud from that of Freud. You only have to look to see that everywhere that one does not rediscover these knowledges, make them get under your skin by means of hard experience. They fall flat. This can neither be imported nor exported. There is no information that holds up except in the measure that it is shaped for use. There is thus, deduced from the fact that knowledge is in the Big Other, that it owes nothing to being except for the fact that this has carried its letter, from which it results that being can kill where the letter reproduces, but never reproduces the same, never the same being of knowledge. I think that you sense here the function that I give you, that I give to the letter with respect to knowledge. It is one that I beg you not to slip too quickly onto the side of so-called messages, the one that make it analogous to a germ cell that we ought so severely, if we are in the line of molecular physiology, that we ought so severely separate from bodies to which it conveys life and death altogether. Marx and Lenin, Freud and Lacan are not coupled in being. It is by the letter that they found in the big other, that as beings of knowledge they proceed two by two into a supposed big other. What is new in their knowledge is that in there it is not supposed what? That the big other knows anything about it. Certainly not, of course, the being who made the letter there, because it is indeed from the big other that he constituted the letter at his own expense, at the price of his being. At the price of his being, good God, for each of them, not from nothing at all, but not from very much either. To tell the truth, these beings from whom the letter is 13 made, I'm going to tell you a little secret about them. I do not think, despite everything that has been recounted, for example, about Lenin, that neither hatred nor love, that enamoration, that this really suffocated any of them. And no stories about Mrs. Freud. And this have Jung's testimony. He told the truth, this was even his mistake. He told nothing but that. Those who manage to make once again these shoots of being are rather those who share in contempt, mépris, that I will make you right this time, since I am amusing myself today with la prix and all the rest, mépris, that gives uniprix. We are all the same in the era of supermarkets, so then one must know what one is capable of producing, even in the matter of being. The annoying thing is the following. It is that the big other, the locus for its part, as I told you, knows nothing. One can no longer hate God if he himself knows nothing. In particular, nothing about what is happening. When one could hate him, one could believe he loved us, because he did not pay us back for it. It was not obvious, despite the fact that in certain cases, people put a whole packet into it. Anyway, since I am coming to the end of these discourses that I have the courage to pursue before you, I would like, since this is an idea that comes to me, and after all it is an idea also about which I have reflected a little bit, is that Christ, in short, whose misfortune is explained to us by an idea of saving men, I find rather that it was a matter of saving God, in giving once more a little presence, actuality to this hatred of God, about which, of course, we are rather indecisive, and with good reason. It is from this that I say that the imputation of the unconscious is an unbelievable act of charity. The subjects know, they know. But anyway, all the same, they do not know all. At the level of this not all, there is only the big other who does not know. It is the big other who makes the not all, precisely in that he is the part of not knowing at all in this not all. So that momentarily, of course, it may be convenient to make him responsible for something at which analysis culminates in the most avowed manner, apart from the fact that no one realizes it. It is that in 14, short, if desire, libido is only masculine, well then, the dear woman, it is precisely only through this that she is all, tout. Namely, from where the man sees her, and only from there, that she can have an unconscious, and what use is that to her? It is of use to her, as everyone knows, to make the speaking being, here reduced to the man, speak. Namely, I do not know whether you have clearly noted it in analytic theory to exist only as mother. She has unconscious effects. But her unconscious, at the limit where one is not responsible for the unconscious of everyone, is that not so? Namely, at the point where the big other with whom she has to deal, the big other, where the big other ensures that she knows nothing, because he, the big other, is only too clear, knows all the less in that it is very difficult to sustain his existence. Well then, one cannot say that all that this gives him much of a chance. I played, in short, the last time, as I allow myself to do, on the rather far-fetched tiré par les cheveux equivocation of il est and il est. I do not enjoy it, except in posing the question whether it is worth a pair of scissors. It is precisely what is at stake in castration. That being should provoke hatred as such is not, let us say, ruled out. Because if Aristotle's whole concern was to conceive of being as being that through which he through which the beings with less being participate in the highest of being, it is tremendous that Saint Thomas succeeded in reintroducing that into a Christian tradition, which of course, since it had spread among the Gentiles, was forced to be entirely shaped by it, so that he only had to pull on the strings for it to start working again. But anyway, do people realize that in the Jewish tradition the cut does not go from the more perfect to the less perfect, that the less perfect is quite simply what is, namely, radically imperfect, and that one must only strictly obey to the finger and eye, if I can express myself in this way, of the one who bears the name, Yahweh, which with moreover some other names in the entourage, which are not ruled out as such. 15. But he has made a choice of his people, and there is no going against him. It is not laid bare that it is much better to betray him on occasion than to être haïr him. And this is what, quite obviously, the Jews did not deny themselves. They could not get out of it in any other way. We are so stifled about this subject of hatred that no one notices that a hatred, a solid hatred, is addressed to being, to the very being of someone who is not necessarily God. We remain with that, and this is indeed is why I said that the small o is a semblance of being. We remain with the notion, and it is here that analysis, as always, in short, is a little bit lame. We remain stuck with jealous hatred, the one that springs from jalouissance, from what imagéis, from the look according to Saint Augustine, who is observing the little man. He is there as a third party. He observes the little man and he sees that pallidus, he grows pale in observing, suspended on the nipple, his conlactanium suum. Luckily, it is the first substitutive enjoyment as stated by Freud. The desire evoked from a metonymy that is inscribed from a demand that is presumed to be addressed to the big other, from the score of what I called ding in my seminar on the ethics of psychoanalysis. The Freudian thing, in other words, the very neighbor whom Freud sets his face against loving beyond certain limits. A child looked at, for his part, has the small o, is to have O to be it. This is a question on which I will leave you today, and if you would not mind reading between now and the next time that I see you, namely, if I remember correctly, the 10th of April, what I wrote about the Bedeutung des Phallus on the meaning of the phallus, if you read it, you will see to what the final question on which I am leaving you leads.